if having an ironic, obnoxious dubstep 3D.
We're not going to have an ironic.
We're not doing that.
Dubstep.
People think, no, you're for real.
Okay, so you wanted ideas on things to do for April 1st, how to step it up. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, because I did the obnoxious YouTuber thing and I thought I peaked. I got nothing after that.
If I went into what I've done for April 1st, there was one video that I must not forget, and it always comes up. There's a video where I talked about how to draw things quickly and essentially made it so that I was painting a mask onto a piece of artwork so the artwork would be revealed underneath it. But for some reason, people really believe this video, probably because they don't watch it all the way through. Because by the end of it, I am scanning a cat and saying that by scanning the cat's fur, Photoshop will understand how to auto-generate fur on your own characters.
Oh, man.
Really ridiculous.
Brilliant.
Things.
I've had suggestions like that, like make a tutorial, but it's just full of red herrings and deliberately lead people astray. But, like, that's a bit dangerous.
It's always a fine balance because I said, first thing you need to do if you want to make fast art is you need to buy a $3,000 tablet. Like, I did have concerns that somebody would actually do that and expect that because the tablet was $3,000, it would draw for them.
They'd become a better artist.
So far, it hasn't happened. But immediately after that, I say, well, if you can't afford a $3,000 tablet, then you just need to go to college and get one of these for $30,000. And I hold up my old diploma.
I'd hope people would have caught on.
I hope so. By the end of but that. I feel like people just see the video title and click in and listen to the first 2 seconds.
Indeed. It's. I guess you've got to be careful to make it obvious enough, but that's when you got to go down territory of being like, oh, I'm shifting gears, we're a Minecraft Let's Play channel now, but that's been done to death.
No, so that's been done to death. So let's go through the April 1st document ideas. Oh, this one is so good. I think this is the one I'm going to do next year. So what I'm going to do is complain about how YouTube is auto-generating videos. So complain about, like, YouTube making its own mashups and that it's become self-aware and has started making content. So how the new YouTube algorithm takes what it knows about me and combines those interests into one video using content that already exists. So what I'm going to do is complain about how these auto-generated videos, as if they're a real thing. Like how people, you know how animators complain about the algorithm and how it doesn't benefit them and all that. So just exactly like that, but about how YouTube is making original videos by mixing people's content together based on my own preferences.
So it's like, it has invented the animate button.
Yes, exactly.
It's combining everyone's cartoons together into its own thing and claiming it as its own. And you can't copyright strike it because it is YouTube manifested.
Yeah, it's just YouTube is just taking stuff that you've already submitted. Oh, I should add into this that, you know, you agreed that YouTube could do this when you read through that terms of service that I'm sure you read when you started your channel.
Would you mock up your own one where it's just full of all sorts of stuff, like you have agreed to sell your soul, you'll eat pine cones for all eternity?
Okay, that's a good idea. I'm going to write that down. Good, so I'm glad we expanded on that one. That's my plan for next year.
What's in the maybe pile then?
So, maybe pile. We've got, for some reason, all I have written down is Phil shower with googly eyes.
What? What's that got to do with anything?
I guess I had an idea where I would take googly eyes and do some kind of skit where they were just, you would go and there would be googly eyes everywhere.
Wait, is this like physically?
Yeah, physically.
Like in real life?
A massive amount of googly eyes. They're cheap.
You will need to order a lot of googly eyes to fill a shower.
So, I don't know, just cover a whole wall with them, whatever you want to do, something really, really...
You need hundreds of thousands of googly eyes, unless you get those ones that are the size of a basketball.
You can just get a big bulk order of them and it'd be really cheap. I've seen someone do this before with rubber ducks. So they bought a massive number of rubber ducks and like kept pranking their roommate with them.
Yeah, that's the James Veitch one.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, I saw him live once. It was great.
So another thing, I had people complain that Scribble Kibble is not fully lip synced. So what I'm gonna do,
oh boy,
what the idea was to record a live action mouth and just edit it on, you know, where Scribble's mouth is supposed to be.
Well, like the annoying orange.
Yes.
Ah, do the annoying orange voice for the whole episode. That's why I built a puppet, though. It was like, oh, I've got no lip syncing and limited emotion. I know! I'll build a puppet, and then I can lip sync everything live while I'm drawing and have one hand above my head.
Yeah, and I was seeing that, and I was like, oh, man, that would be so much easier than making a rig and animating it.
It is for a bit, and then your arm starts to get a little bit tired, and then you realize I'm on the 15th take, and I still haven't quite got it. But more so than anything is trying to keep it in shot correctly without accidentally letting something into the shot that shouldn't. I don't have like a proper camera setup yet. So at the moment, it's holding your phone in selfie mode and holding my other arm outstretched in the other direction, which is not easy on the wrists.
That is your main issue, I think. I think if you had a stable camera, you wouldn't have to...
Well, yeah, but I just spent 2 weeks building a new setup.
I just did the exact same type of recording today, and it is a pain in the butt, because I was working on a tablet review, and to hold and try to do anything with the tablet with one hand and then try to hold the phone, and also hold the phone in a way that it doesn't freaking refocus the camera.
Do you have human hands, or do you put fox gloves on?
No, I just use human hands for the tablet stuff. Although, there
I made it canon that I still have human hands.
Yeah, I saw that.
Just because it's weird.
Just onion hands, human hands. Don't ask me
why
about
not?
It. That's fine. It's fine.
I try not to commit to the magic too much. There's definitely been times where I'm recording something in real life, and you just see it slumped in the corner of the room over there.
I even see...
I can't be bothered. My audience is predominantly in their 20s. I don't think they're going to have their hearts broken.
Just to digress from the April 1st ideas for a second, there's a puppeteering channel that I just subscribed to, but he's been really good with keeping the magic there. Like, he has this little bird puppet that he goes around with. Shoot, I just subscribed him. He's got a ton of subscribers, but it's just really interesting to watch the puppet stuff in terms of animation, because he is a stop motion animator and he is doing his own stuff, and he's just thinking, well, the stop motion takes too long. So what if I build a puppet that looks like it's stop motion, but it's live?
Is this the guy where they're also like slightly animatronic? Like his fingers are sort of just like slotted through the legs and stuff?
Yeah, stuff like that.
And they got like bits of wire and stuff to be able to emote the face and things.
Why can't we remember his name? Do you?
Not the name, but they're like they're only a few inches tall and like made out of cork and stuff. He's really popular now, but I can't remember the name either.
Yeah, I know.
So it's not very helpful for people who are great. Listening and want to go find it.
What if I just look it up? Creepy face puppet.
They're
right
not
up.
Creepy. Well, actually, yeah, the latest one I think is meant to be creepy.
That's what he named it. Barnaby Dixon.
There you go.
Barnaby Dixon.
He's great.
So, that really fascinating mashup of kind of stop motion and animatronic skill set into live action.
I love the idea of it, because it is just another form of animation. Only you can do it live! You don't have to spend 3 days lip syncing.
You just have to be able to hold a camera in one hand and, you know, your onion puppet in the other.
Yeah. If you can't be bothered building a proper setup like I apparently can't.
Well, I mean, I was just saying this earlier today. I really miss the days when I had a $1,200 camera and a tripod to put it on.
Whew. Oh. What happened to them? Did you forget to back up?
Oh, they weren't mine. They belonged to the company I worked for.
Oh, fair enough.
Oh, but if I had the extra money, that would be a really nice investment for doing live action stuff, because, oh, it was nice.
Indeed. But would people feel betrayed? This is not the animation I signed up for?
I wonder about that, because...
It's like, yeah, you're animated technically, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, I wonder about that, because with the tablet reviews, that's all live stuff, and I've started to... And... Why not? We'll just totally digress away from the April 1st topic again.
That's fine. We're going to talk about that for half an hour.
So, the tablet reviews, and by now, one will already have come out. And what happened was, you do one tablet review, and then every other company that wants, you know, does marketing by sending tablets to people to have them review them, gets your information and you know, they say, hey, can we send you a tablet? So you end up with all of these tablets.
Cool.
But the thing about tablet reviews is that the more you do, the more you realize all of the tablets are the same. So the only thing you really need to talk about is what features are on it and what's different and what problems it has. But that only makes about a 2-minute video, and a lot of times they have requirements for how long they have to be. So I get really fed up with this because there's so many other channels that do tablet reviews, and, you know, it's not really what I want to be doing. It's not my thing.
It's pretty rad that you're at the point where you're getting sponsored hardware reviews.
That's what my friend was saying. One of my friends who's a photographer over in New York, he was saying, well, it's great. You know, you got all these free tablets. And I'm like, no, it's not great because because I've got all these tablets that I'm trying to get rid of now, which is fine. I mean, that's going to make some money.
Now you get to start using phrases like daily driver. You only get to say that if you have more devices than the average person is supposed to have.
If I was going to be a tablet reviewer, I think I would, you know, I have this thing about quality. If I'm going to review tablets, I should really be reviewing a lot of them, and I should be buying them with my own money so that I can review them and actually compare them. But that's not what I really want. That's not what I want
to
do.
But if they're sponsoring you to do it, it's like it's a review, not an ad, right? So you still get to give your honest thoughts.
Yeah, it's still a review, but I feel like in my mind, people would benefit a lot more if I knew more about how tablets worked and if I was a product tester and had some product testing background rather than just being, I had this argument with someone else today.
So simply gathering them all together and doing a mass comparison, is that like not within the criteria of what developers want?
I could, but the thing is there's so many different models and stuff like that. But my problem is that on YouTube there's a lot of people who already review tablets, so I don't want to be duplicating that. I mean, I'm just another artist like they are, saying, hey, this tablet does work. And
well, maybe an easy way to round it off, like if you do like a bit of a skit to cap it, and then if you don't need it at the end, and sort of frame it all up as a, hey, here's like a contest giveaway. I don't need it. I'll even sign it. So you get a special one of a kind of this thing.
So speaking of the skits, so I thought, well, what if I just threw away more or less the serious part of the review and just made it funny?
Sure, that'll help it stand out.
So I don't think getting tablets from companies is going to be a problem anymore after this next review comes out.
Oh, wait, are you purposely alienating yourself from sponsorships?
Well, it's not like they're sponsoring me. They just send me a tablet.
Right, under the criteria of review it.
Yeah, right. So I do review it, but under...
Okay. But it's not like a paid thing to help keep the channel going.
No, it's not paid. Right.
Right.
But because of the amount of time it takes to put the review together, just like how it takes you time to put together a tutorial, but longer, probably, it costs me money to sit here and review the tablet, but I'm not getting paid.
Well, if all you're getting out of it is a tablet you don't need, why are you accepting the offers?
Well, because ideally, once you've tested the tablet, you sell it, and you do get some money from that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
But I'm tired of doing tablet reviews, so my goal now is to create a video that I think people will find entertaining, but that still reviews the tablet, technically.
So almost in like a how-to basic kind of way, just gets a little bit more absurd every time?
Yeah, so... cool. We'll see how it goes. And I don't think that I don't know. I've worked with this particular company a lot and I don't know what they're going to do or say when this video comes out.
When this one where it's like, oh boy, what black magic is ahead of us?
Yeah, the one where I go, nope, I'm done. I mean, I'm not done, but, you know, I want to make a video that will get a lot of views, so... If you don't want your tablet...
Well, I hope you're comfortable with talking about all this behind-the-scenes stuff.
No, it's fine. I'm not signed on a contract with anybody. I'm not specifically mentioning anybody. I'm not too worried.
Well, also just like the... hopefully not spoiling anything coming up, but I like to see it more as foreshadowing.
Yeah, I haven't spoiled exactly what happens. I just can say for a fact that two of the particular clips that I recorded today, I was just laughing hysterically at how silly.
Yeah, if I was hearing this, I'd be like, okay, there's something to look forward to.
Yeah. So, tablet reviews. I hope that I get another tablet to review after this, because my friends and I have been coming up with a lot of really ridiculous ideas. For example, we were going to take a tablet on a date and evaluate whether or not tablets make good dates.
That's what?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's a lot more entertaining than just covering it in condiments.
To do that and still review the features of the like, you know, does it have a pen that needs to be charged? Does it, how many buttons does it have? But to do it in a really cheeky way.
Well, yeah, you could totally do that. It'd be like, you know, reading its Tinder profile or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then, like, after the date finishes and, like, just sort of discussing with your friend, oh, how'd it go? I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, you got to plug the pen in.
Yeah, yeah. So, stuff like that. Anyway, silly ideas for things to do that are animation related.
All in all, though, like, tablets are still just dark sorcery. The fact that, I don't know if all the other brands are like it, but the fact that, like, a Wacom pen, I'm looking at my one now, has a circuit board inside of it, but where does its electricity come from?
That, yeah.
They never need to be charged.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that for a long time until what happened was I got the first tablet to review, and you had to plug the pen in and charge it with a USB. And, you know, once you charged it once, it would last for a couple, you know, really long time, 100 hours or something. But you had to even do that blew my mind, because I thought all tablets had magic pens that didn't need batteries. I have a couple tablets that you need to put batteries in the pen.
And the fact that Wacom's had this tech for, like, decades now. Like, the fact that this existed in the mid-2000s is insane.
Isn't that weird? It's like something in the pen allows it to be powered by its proximity to the tablet, and it's the tablet that's powered, so I don't understand.
Yeah, and like it tracks it when it's not touching the screen.
Yeah.
So it is somehow beaming electricity over nothing. Yeah, and so I guess they just have one really, really kick-ass pattern that no one's been able to duplicate or replicate it, even in a, oh, we tweaked it just a little bit, so now it's okay, like how, you know, other phones were able to have multi-touch after the iPhone happened.
Yeah, because up till this point, all the tablets I've talked about, the pens did need to be charged. I think even the display tablets, like the $600 display tablets, $600, yeah, those had pens that needed to be charged, I think.
Yeah, even the iPad pen's got to be charged. Really? Like, people are starting to say that, like, it's a nicer pen to use.
So,
I think.
But somebody, the one tablet I just talked about has a pen that doesn't need to be charged. It's magic, too. So somebody is using the technology besides Wacom.
That, well, that's for me. Like, I would have hoped that after one particular brand sort of having monopoly on this for, like, 15 years, that someone's going to start to catch up eventually. But in the mid-2000s, having magic no-electricity pens is, like, so staggeringly ahead of its time.
It's not. I don't think so anymore, but...
Not anymore, but it's, like, you know, that's a matter of time. But it does, looking back on it all, it is kind of like, you know, an iPhone coming out when everyone still had Nokias.
Now, imagine that you started as an artist when you were drawing on a physical desk. And then to have these tablets come out.
But like as that happened, like as a kid in school, just like drawing stuff on a piece of paper. I remember the first time trying a tablet and it blew my mind. It was a big plate one, but it was like a 22-inch plate. So it was like full sweeping arm movements to move the cursor around. and then finally got my first home one, which was tiny. It was like the size of an envelope. So that was like tiny little movements with your fingers and the cursor goes zoom all the way across the screen. But it's funny that what kind of tablet do you use as your everyday one?
So I've got a Wacom 27-inch QHD Touch.
Whoa, that 27-inch. Those things have bevels for days.
When I bought it, it was like the new thing. And the only reason I bought it, I'm usually not a person who does that. I'm usually the person who buys the technology after everyone else already has it. So I'm not one of those lead people who tries the new stuff.
Get like second gen tech when it's
yeah. So I bought a Nintendo 3DS when the Switch came out.
oh wow!
Yeah, stuff like that.
I did that with the 360, and I still haven't used it much.
Yeah, I don't play as many games as I used to. I'm spending all my time making art. But so yeah, that's
I got into it again with the Switch because it's I can play it on the train.
Yeah. It's handheld. Great. That's handheld is the only type of machine I'll buy anymore because PCs.
It's my lifestyle. Also, like if I have to premeditate a gaming session, it usually just won't happen. Like putting aside an hour or so won't happen.
Oh, that's weird. I never do that.
So that's what I mean. It's much easier to have something that is a tablet and has a sleep mode. So it's like, oh, I'll just, you know, whip it on for 10 minutes or so. Sometimes it'll turn into a couple of hour session, but it's the reason why I've had Zelda Breath of the Wild for over a year and I'm only just about to face the final boss.
Oh, yeah, because little game sessions over a long period of time.
But I haven't yet. I've been sitting at the front entrance to the boss chamber for about a week now because I feel like that's a big moment. That's something I want to make in an event. I'm not just going to play that in tablet mode while I'm on the loo. So that's when I realized that, like, oh, these premeditated big sessions just don't happen because I need one now for the finale. And I'm really excited for it, but I haven't done it. And that's why I never played the 360 that I got after the PS4 came out.
It's almost like the game happened in real time. You know, that whole adventure took a whole year.
Kinda, yeah. It was interesting turning it back on after a couple of months of nothing and being like, where am I?
Oh, that happened. Yeah, that's a whole
I'm in a tundra somewhere.
But, yeah, so I bought the tablet, going back to the tablet discussion.
Oh, yes.
When it was the top technology, because I knew that I wasn't going to buy another one until this one, like, goes kaput, basically. So I'm like, well, I better buy the best technology because I'm going to be stuck with it for a really long time until it's totally out of date. What are you using?
How do you find it, though? Because those things are gigantic.
Okay, so, yeah, how do I find it? First of all right, I need to do a review of this tablet because
what kind of scream is that? Just emotion. So many different kinds.
I've had this tablet for a few years, and the amount of frustration over the Wacom drivers is just incredible. Every time Windows updates, every time something in Adobe updates, the tablet just changes its mind about how it's going to work or what. So it's like a constant battle.
Ooh, that's scary. That was one of the things that put me off coming back to Windows for a while.
Oh, geez. Welcome back. It's exactly what you remember.
Uh-oh.
If not worse, because now the updates are mandatory.
Wait, Windows updates are mandatory?
Unless you know how to handle computers, they kind of force you to get the updates now.
So what, it sort of is like, it just locks up when you're mid-session and says, yep, you can stop everything you're doing for 20 minutes.
It used to, I'll be honest. It actually used to do that a couple years ago. And then they realized how much everybody freaking hated that because you'd be in the middle of an animation project. And by the way, your computer's going to restart in 5 seconds.
I was wondering how, like, the corporate world would handle that. Having, like...
I don't know. Everybody was mad.
Fortune 500 companies just grind to a halt for a few hours.
Everybody was mad. So, anyway, now you have to set... Well, I mean, you don't have to, but you can set what hours it does that at. So, it doesn't actually just decide to do it whenever.
But it's like, oh, you got 48 hours to commit sort of thing.
Yeah, well, it forces you to set some hours when you don't... When it can update. So, I think mine is from 2 a.m. to 8 or something, 8 a.m. I don't know. But I don't leave my computer on all the time anyway, so it doesn't matter. It's fine.
But what I was really curious about with the 27-inch is just the physicality
of it. Oh, it's huge.
Isn't it just super heavy?
It's 30 pounds, 35 pounds.
Is it practical to have a second monitor, or is it like, with 27 inches, you don't need one? There's so much real estate.
Well, the problem with the 27 inches, it's so heavy, I'm afraid to mount it on a swivel arm. A lot of people have done that. I've seen it done. I think Aaron Blaze has a tablet this big mounted on an arm. I am nervous to do that, partly because I don't want to attach anything to my desk.
Yeah.
I would really love to have it mounted, though. It's big... I'm used to using it the way it is now. I didn't pay the $600 for the stand, so...
I was about to say, isn't there an optional stand that's nearly $1,000 or something insane?
It's $600, and I think... I mean, maybe it's $300. I better look it up before I just spew numbers. Cintiq.
But it's like concrete or something, isn't it?
It really like annoys me that the stand doesn't come with it. Okay, it is $600.
Well, I think that's why, so that there isn't a compulsory extra $600.
I guess so. So I didn't invest in that. I should, because rather than the arm, that'd at least get me a greater degree of tilt. Right now, it's just on its little back feet, so I've got about maybe a 25-30 angle.
I'm really curious to what the long-term plan there is, because the most common tablet I see by far is the 22-inch HD.
I feel like it's because the footprint isn't so big.
Yeah, they're an old model, and every time that type gets upgraded, it's gotten massively bigger. Like, it went to the 24-inch, now the 27-inch. Oh. And the 22 still sort of exists, but, like, people keep buying it because it's the, I think, the perfect balance between power and price.
Probably.
But it is noticeably old now. Like, the distance between the plate and the screen is quite deep. It's like 5 millimeters or something. And the bevels are quite big too, and the resolution is low.
Wow.
I'm perplexed that there isn't just a revitalized 22-inch one. And you could decrease the form factor by an insane amount now. You can make it very thin, very, you know, knock off all the bevels, make it HD. Well, it's probably HD, but make it like, you know, like a modern screen where you can't see pixels anymore.
Now they, because when I bought this, it was 2,000 levels of pressure. The standard now is 8,000, and it's not like a huge difference. Wow, this is so different.
Do you notice that?
But you do notice the difference. Just your line control is... There's a difference.
Right. Is it more of a... You notice it when you try to go back again? And you're like, oh, this is like a low resolution pressure.
Yeah, it's not... It's just... You notice it in how crisp and smooth the lines are in programs where you normally wouldn't be able to do that. So normally I have to go into Paint Tool Sci to do my line work for illustration. But with 8,000 pressure in Photoshop, you can still make stuff that's really smooth. I don't know. Tablets, man. I'm surprised that Wacom hasn't upgraded, because I haven't been keeping track since I knew I was going to get this model and be stuck with it. I'd like something smaller, I think. It's too big. It's too big.
Well, I just know everyone is still sticking with their 22-inch because there hasn't been a successor that fits that corner of the market. And if there was something that was a similar screen size, but just all of its specs were modern, because this thing's been around for... When did the 22-inch come out? I remember seeing them as early as 2012.
Jeez, that's old in technology terms.
And they were around for a couple of years before that. I think they've been around since about 2010.
Gosh.
2010, 2011. So, yeah. And I don't think they are... Oh, maybe you can still get them new, but they're not, like, marketed. They're not, like, a prize thing. So they kind of just go around in secondhand circulation and stuff because they lost.
Huh. I mean, yeah, this tablet... The surprising thing is I was wondering if it was going to hold up. And so far it has. Because I hadn't had a screen tablet before. I just had the kind, USB kind.
Oh, nice. Good luck ever going back, by the way.
Really?
That hand-eye coordination that you build from an Intuos, once it's lost, you're not getting it back.
Are you sure? I don't know, because
I struggle now, yeah.
Do you? Because I feel like if this tablet went kaput, I would go back to a USB tablet because my hand isn't in front of what I'm drawing. But I guess I don't know.
There's pros to it. I do know a few people that swear by their Intuos. And if that dies, they will get one of the same model. Because of things like that, they can sit with their back up straight, they can look straight at the screen, they don't have to hunch over a desk.
Their
hand
too.
Isn't in the way.
That too.
And it is just a practice thing. But yeah, once I went Cintiq, I couldn't go back. Being able to rely perfectly that, okay, press the button by actually pressing the button. That was it. Even like using a mouse now is sort of... I have to, like, wrestle with it because I keep overshooting the buttons of things.
Really? Maybe your mouse... It sounds like your mouse is too sensitive. My mouse has to be a lot less sensitive than the tablet.
I think its acceleration is too intense. It's either going slow, 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 and then it just shoots across the screen as soon as I speed up a little bit. But there's no adjustment for it in preferences.
I can't believe, I think we've already been talking about tablets for 30 minutes?
For a while.
That's incredible, and there's so much more to say about them. But I think that's a good amount.
Quality online entertainment. Come join our half an hour conversation about tablets. Discussing different tablet
types.
Oh
my gosh. I mean, there's... because if mine broke, I'm not even sure what I would do, really. Because I'd probably just use one of the tablets that's sitting there on the floor right now.
Oh yeah, you've got a surplus of them. Personally, I'm just glad that we now live in a world where tablets are commonplace. Before the casual Androids and stuff like that, from the conversation we're having before about like talking to people who are completely outside of this. Oh, what do you do? Animate. Oh, okay. How do you do it? Or like draw on a computer screen. Oh, how do you do that? Oh, I use a tablet. What, like a pill?
Like, a pill.
You know, the word tablet wasn't commonplace for a while until the big phones came out.
You can draw on your phone now. I mean, I got a lot of beginning animators who want to know what software to use on their phone for drawing, and I can't advise them on that because I draw on my phone. Get a proper tablet for that kind of thing.
I'm not a fan of it. I'm quite perplexed that things like the iPad Pro still run the phone operating system. And not the desktop operating system?
Yeah, that to me is strange. But I did try out a tablet that does that. It runs on Android. And I was like, yeah, no, you know what? It works for sketching, but it sucks that you're limited to the phone apps. It's...
Yeah, I'd be very, very tempted by an iPad that ran Mac OS. It's the screen's big enough, it's powerful enough, and it's got a stylus so you can have the precision of a cursor. Like, the whole reason why it uses a phone operating system is because it expects you to use your fingers, and the buttons are, you know, your fingers too big to be able to press mouse-sized buttons. That's why I went back to Windows, so I can just customize it to how I want now, rather than just having to put up with what I'm told to put up with. Anyway, that's enough of that. We've dabbled around the outskirts of a few other topics that I think we still want to do.